Suratul Buruj, it is a Makkan surah the main meaning or the gist of the meaning is to help the mu'minins, and especially in the beginning of Islam, to bear the hardships that they were facing. And in this also there is an incident or something, an incident has been mentioned about the hardships that a group of people, and there is a lot of contradiction in the tafsirs as to who these people are. But as we all know, I mean, the Quran is not worried about who they are, but the message is there, the moral message that they were there and God saw that what was done to them. Similarly, he's seeing what is being done to these people, and the hardship faced by these people who are mentioned in the Quran is much, much greater than what early Muslims were facing, as we'll see. Now the surah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Wasamai dhatil buruj. Wa here is wawul qasm, as they say, by the sky. Sama is anything that is above the earth, by the heavens, skies. Samai dhatil buruj, which has buruj. Buruj is plural of burj. Burj literally comes from baraja, is something that is evident, and then it applies to towers. Towers are something that are evident, and people can see it from far, and everyone can see it clearly. Something that is. So buruj is plurals of tower, one of the meanings is towers. Now also this thing, that something that is evident and clear, there is also another word coming from the same root, tabarraja. And the wives of the Prophet are sort of told not to tabarraja, tabarrujul jahiliya, to display themselves, to show off themselves like the jahili women show themselves off, sort of decorate themselves and go out and show themselves off. So that shows the meaning of this is something that is evident, showing off, shows clear. Now the other meaning of buruj, which also meets with towers, is on the walls of the cities, that are the walls which are there to protect. There are also towers, points where soldiers sort of stand and guard off. And Tabatabai says it is something of this meaning that is intended here, something that is giving a sense of guarding off. In the skies where we have got this sort of towers where things are being guarded, and he brings out an ayah of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكَدْ جَعَلْنَا فِي السَّمَاءِ بُرُوجًا وَزَيَّنَّهَا لِلنَّاذِرِينَ وَحَفَظْنَاهَا مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. And in the skies we have made buruj, towers, places, high places, and we have decorated it, that is the sky, for those who see, those who look at it with the stars and whatever. وَحَفَظْنَا, and we have guarded it, guarded the skies from every shaitan irrajim, from all the cursed shaitans, that they can have anything to do with it. It is our creation, they are not allowed there, it is ours, nobody can get in there, we are the, it is being guarded. So he says that this sama, this zatil buruj also tells with this, the whole concept of the whole surah, that here we are, we have got these skies where we are guarding everything. It is we, and the shaitan has no power over it. So what is happening to this moment? The promises that we have made, our laws, that things are going to happen as we have said, there is no doubt about it. We are guarding it. There are these guards, there are these walls or these towers, whether meant by angels or whatever, I mean sort of a symbolic, that we are guarding these secrets. It is us who do this thing, and shaitan has no, the shayateen, evil people, they have no way through it. They cannot corrupt our plans. There is no way anything can be corrupted. It's all safeguarded by us. But others have said that buruj, or burj here, is just the positions of the stars, that is the stars and its positions. So places where the stars are, one time we say there, other times there. And the modern meaning is obviously the zodiac signs, but the Vasudeva has nothing to do with the zodiac signs. I mean, it's got nothing to do with that. But though in astronomy, in olden astronomy, I mean, zodiac signs are related with the present, what we call the stars, I mean, the 12 signs of the zodiac. It's got nothing to do with it. I mean, the old meaning is the positions of the stars. So, Samayadatil Buruj, the sky with what we would say evident, I mean, positions which are clear, or positions which are there clear and open, being guarded by angels. Wal Yawmil Maw'ud, in the day and the promised day, Yaw, day, Maw'ud, from Wa'ada, that has been promised. And the promised day, that is the day when things will sort of become clear, which we have promised, and people have to wait for it. So he says these things actually tie up. Here is Sama Izatil Buruj. There we have got skies with Buruj towers, places where angels or we are guarding the secrets, plants, our plants, everything is being guarded there. And the day of Maw'ud, where everything will be unfolded, everything will be seen clearly, though that what we have said will happen, and everybody will witness it. وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ. And the one who witnesses, the one who sees, who is looking and watching and seeing it, observing it, and the things that are observed, and the observed, the observer and the observed, or the witness and the witnessed. Now, who the witness is, and I mean, this, look, the tafsirs, I mean, there are so many sort of different views, but they are all views of the Mufassir. You can make your own views. One of them is God is the witness. He is seeing everything. The observer, and the observed is everything else apart from his creation. And everything else is the observed. And others say many other things. The Prophet is the Shahid, which is there in also other parts of the Quran. Yes, he is observing, and he is a witness, and his people are witnessed, or whatever the kafirs and all the people are doing is what is being witnessed. But anyway, the Quran here is not, it's good, as others have said, apply to everything. Oh, but the whole thing is there. I mean, this we have got, there is this thing that we have got. We have got a message. We have got this message and this plan and this which we are telling you. We are unfolding it to you. This is how things are going to happen. And that day of, that the day will come when things, you will see it as it is. Shahidim wa mashud. And it is being witnessed and the witness. What you are doing, what is being observed and the observed. So this all, he says, ties up with the whole thing. And then it starts to talk about this people or this group of mu'mineens who is sort of probably is given as an example to the mu'mins at the beginning. Kutila ashabul ukhdud. Kutila, killed or destroyed, were the ashabul ukhdud. Ashabul ukhdud, the people of the ukhdud. Ukhdud is from khad. Khad is a trench or a split. And that's people said also the cheeks are not cut because the tears, I mean, it's the path where the tears flow down, the path. But literally it means a trench or a pit. So these people were destroyed. Now, whether what does ashabul ukhdud, does it refer to the people who are killed? This incident is about, now, from what we learn from the Quran, it's about a group of people who are being burned in a trench. A trench full of fire. They are being made to jump in it or pushed in it or whatever. They are burnt in it. And there are another group who are observing this torment and torture of theirs. And these people are being burnt only for one reason, that they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing else. They have got no other crime apart from their belief. So these are, who are these people? Mufassirs are very, very divided. There are hadiths which are sort of very contradictory. There is one hadith which says that refers to the Christians of Najran before Islam. People who go and look at the history, Yemen, you see, once was had a lot of Jewish influence, and some of its kings were also Jews. And the last of its great kings was Zu Nawas, which even if you look at the prophet's history, they talk about Zunawas and this and that, and Balaam's going there and Zunawas. So anyway, Zunawas was a Jew and was embraced Judaism and was very much under influence of Judaism. And the Christians or the people in Najran, then first they were inclined towards Judaism, and then they accepted Christianity and converted to it. And Zunawas was extremely upset with them, and he sent a people, his army or his people, to tell these people, look, you cannot do that, and forcefully reconvert them. So he dug this trench and then ignited a big fire in it and said, now bring all these people. If they say that they are reconverting, then they will be saved. Otherwise, just throw them, tell them to jump in the trench. So it says this is referring. Then we have other hadith that has nothing to do with this thing. This is about a prophet, it was in Habasha. It was in Africa somewhere. A black prophet who came and he sort of preached the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people believed and others did not. And these who did not sort of dug this trench, and these people were, those who had believed were thrown in this trench and burnt alive. It refers to them. But as I said, I mean, the Quran is not worried about who. Others, so just to sort of gloss over this contradiction, said maybe it refers to all of them. I mean, all the time the Quran will refer to all of them. It refers probably to some incident with the Arabs knew at that time, which was well known to that time. But unfortunately, our books are very, very unclear as to what. The contradiction is such that it's very difficult to sort of see which incident is referring. But the moral lesson is there. There were these people. Kutila ashabul Ukhdud. Destroyed are the people of the Ukhdud, of the trenches. Now here this does not refer to the people who are actually killed. Kutila also means destroyed. Wow unto them. That these are, they have destroyed them. This refers to the people who actually were killing. So these people have destroyed themselves by doing this bad act of killing this. Kutila ashabil Ukhdud. Because later we'll see it refers to, though the Mufassir said that it could refer to that these people who were killed, the mu'minins, it refers to them, they were killed. No, it actually refers to the host who was killing the mu'minin. Destroyed, killed, that is, they destroyed themselves. They are killed, they are, as if they have been killed, they have been destroyed. Ashabul Ukhdud, an-nari dhatil wuqud, a fire which is fuel, has fuel. Zat is something possessing, and wuqud is fuel. That is a very hot, fuel-fed fire, an extremely hot, well-fed fire. وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودٌ. Now this clearly refers to Ashab al-Ukhdud, and they, no sorry, before it says, is هُمْ عَلَيْهَا قُعُود, when they were on this city, is هُمْ, and when they were on this incident, on when they were killing, they were sitting, watching, قُعُود, sitting. وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودٌ, and they were, what they were doing to the mu'mineen, shuhud, a witness. So they were observing what they were doing to the mu'mineen when they were being burnt in these trenches. So literally, I mean, this wahum here refers to the ashabul ukhdud, and these ashabul ukhdud who are watching what they were doing to the mu'mineen as the host community, is the community who is burning, not the one who is being burnt. And what was the sin of these people who were being burned? Wama nakamu. Nakamu means to dislike, to disown, to sort of dislike it strongly. Wama nakamu. They did not disapprove, dislike. Minhum, of them, illa, except an yu'minu billahi al-aziz al-hamid. Except that these people, yu'minu, believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Aziz and the Hamid. Aziz and Hamid are two of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aziz is somebody who overcomes all obstacles. And that's why we say the king is usually known as Aziz, because he doesn't have anybody who can stop his orders. When he passes an order, there is nothing, because he has no equal in his kingdom who stops his order being fulfilled. In the right sense, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Aziz. Whatever he says passes, goes, happens, there is no way that anybody can stop it, because everything is his creation and his good. Aziz and Hamid is somebody who is very, very praiseworthy. All his acts, whatever he does, are sort of praiseworthy, deserving of praise. So their fault or their sin was only one, that they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Aziz Al-Hamid, and that's why these people burnt them. So Allah says that this doesn't mean, and this, there is a very important lesson here, that we may at times be tempted only to look at things which are very important and very big in our eyes. But Allah looks at things which are small, and maybe people haven't even recorded in history, very small. All these things are being watched and recorded. And all these things have an outcome and a consequences which will be seen on the Yawmul Mawood, the day of the promised day. Everything, small and big. We don't have to worry about things that are sort of only big in the eyes of men. No, as far as Allah is concerned, everything is mechanical. I mean, it's sort of naturally, it's naturally being recorded. It's not something that somebody has to record and he forgets. All these things are being recorded and have consequences which will be clearly seen for those who are concerned on that day. So things are not being hidden or not cannot be glossed over. It is not possible that it can be glossed over. And this is exactly what the next ayah said, Alladhina lahu mulku samawati wal ard. The one, this is Allah, Aziz al-Hamid, for whom is the mulk, is the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. Everything is his. It is he who is in real terms Aziz. It is his whose saying goes, whose orders are always obeyed. And there is no way that anybody can be so, because he makes, I mean his order is actually creation itself. وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on everything He is observing. I mean, this thing has to be clear in our mind. We don't have, people sometimes, even when they take out His, I mean, God, they believe that, for example, people who go and fight for good things, they say, oh, their name will be ever living. Ever living, they don't believe in God. How will it be everlasting? They think history will sort of record. I mean, this is not the concept when we say that their name is going to be ever living or ever lasting. We have a different concept. It is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these things are recorded and it has its consequences. This is the everlasting, the real everlasting. I mean, history people can forget, people can gloss over and wipe it out and can be changed as well. And wrong things can be put in its place. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mechanism He has put in, it cannot be glossed over, it cannot be wiped, it cannot be changed. So it says that these people, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ, those who فَتَنُوا. فَتَنَا literally means to burn. And this is the root word from which fitna and all these things. فَتَنَا is to burn. And then, and also in that sense it's used in the Quran. But then, when gold or silver is burnt, I mean, why do you burn or melt silver and gold? Is to separate it from the impurities. Then it applies even to men, to burn him, that is to pass him through hardship, to hard times, so that the impurities get separated, the impure ones get separated from the pure, the serious ones get separated from those who are not that serious. So then on, I mean, even hardships become fatana is to sort of put hardship on somebody, to make times difficult for them, to torture, to bring difficulties. And that's why fitna, all these things, sort of trials, tribulations, anyone to take into the deviation, to wrong path. This all sort of comes from this hardships, obstacles and all this. The literal meaning, first meaning is to put in fire, as many of the linguists have said. And then literally sort of then to bring hardship in the way, to separate and to try them. So those who bring, and here it is sort of literally, either some have said that those who burn or bring hardship or make life difficult. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ, those who torture, bring hardship, فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, the believing men وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ and the believing woman. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُ and then they do not repent. Now remember, repentance has got a very big thing. Amen. This actually shows, even those who do, here the ayah does not want to remove that bit as well. It wants to say, even if you have tortured, being hard on those who believe, and then if you repent, then Allah will forgive you. According to another ayah, if you repent properly, He will change these bad deeds into good deeds. I mean, it is another thing. So Tawbah is not being sort of ruled out here. He said, yes, if you sort of then repent, then things are different. But those who do not repent, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُ فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمُ for them is the punishment of Jahannam, of hell. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقُ and for them is a burning. عَذَاب is punishment, حَرِيق, burning. For them is a burning punishment. So Allah is watching everything. We should all, this is being trying to be hammered out. I mean, you have to put yourself in the place of the early Muslims. I mean, they cannot see any way that they are going to win or they are going to be successful. Small in number, being outnumbered in everything, in wealth, in numbers, in strength and all these things. There are cases like these people. They are being burnt. And all these injustices they see. So Allah says, this is not something that you should be sort of concerned about. This you should not give up because of this. Because our books are there. We have done, planned things in such a way that all the things will be revealed. And even in this world, I mean, we'll come to this in some other time, that in the Quran and in religion, I mean, why is it that bad, when we say that somebody does evil, he will only be punished once according to that evil. But anybody who does good will get 10 times as much. In fact, there are others and who say that this is not only a reward in the sense of in the hereafter, even in this world, bad goes away. Some bad is such. Allah has planned this world in a good way, that good has 10 times its reward. Even anything you do good, and that also if you look at the example which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives of kalimatun tayyiba, a goodly word, is like a goodly tree. I mean, a tree when it only requires one seed to grow, but when it grows, how many seeds does it produce? Innumerable. This is an example of a goodly thing. And this world is built on this sort of thing. Anything that is good gets attached, stays and flourishes. And those which are bad are like a bad tree. I mean, it may look that it has sort of grown. As soon as there is a storm or something, it goes away and is wiped out. So the building of this world, and we'll go into this later on in some other time, in fact, in one of the lectures about what we are talking about, Nahjul Balagha, it comes there. That this world is actually built on this code, despite of what we may not see properly, but actually it is built. And this thing that Allah says that a good action has got 10 times its reward is this meaning. That this world and everything that Allah has created is built on goodness. And this goodness has this flourishing power, that it flourishes and bad things do not flourish, do not grow, and do not give the fruits that the good things give. So in Allah, those who do these bad deeds, they have to remember that. Remember, but unfortunately, those who are involved in these bad things, they do not have this power, as later on we'll see. And then, obviously, when he talks about the bad people, then he talks about the good people, those who are being burnt in that case, or those who are being tortured. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا those who believe, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ and do good deeds, لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِ مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ for them there is heaven, gardens underneath which rivers flow. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ and that, fawz is something when you achieve what you desire, this for success or happiness or whatever, but literally it means you're achieving what you desire, for what you have worked, what you wanted, your goal, you achieve it. And that is the biggest achievement. Dhalikal fawzul kabir. And that is the biggest achievement on that day. As we have said, there are hadiths, or it is one of the du'as where one of the imams says that, "Oh Allah, if you give me everything, but do not give me one thing, then you have given me nothing." And that is Jannah. And if you give me one thing, then you have given me everything, which is success in the hereafter, Jannah. And the other thing, sort of the first thing was Jahannam. If you give me everything in this world, but if you give me Jahannam, then you have given me nothing. So this is the Fawzul Kabir. And this is the message in all these surahs. We have always said that it is trying to drive this thing home. Look, everything you do has got consequences, everything, small and big. And this is going to be revealed. And this is the message of all the prophets. And this is something that there is no way we can find out these things. And that's why it says that it is incumbent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He sends prophets. We cannot find this thing out by our experimentation and all these things. It is no way we can reach this truth. So it is the duty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He warns of this thing, and which He has. I think we'll stop here and continue next time, inshallah. If there are any questions, comments, please go forward. But as I said, I mean, Ashabul Uqdud, I don't know. I couldn't find anything that was sort of who these people are Quran is talking about. Whether it is actually these Christians or some other people, very difficult to gauge. All Mufassirs have, quite a few Mufassirs have talked about this, Zunnawas and the Christians of Najran. And also another thing to note is, here it's used Mu'minun. And actually none of the Mufassirs, everywhere else they always try to say Mu'minun means Muslims. None of the Mufassirs have said that Mu'minun. So literally Mu'minuns do not mean Muslims, even in the Quranic terminology. These are good points to remember. It means anybody who believes in Allah. And all. And as we have said, I mean, even in Surah Yasin, where it says that our Ahd, that is the covenant which we have made with Bani Adam, Ya Bani Adam. Alam ahid ilaykum, Ya Bani Adam, Allah ta'budu shaitan, innahu. And then he says, Wa'buduni, haza sirat mustaqim. Worship me, and this is the Sirat al-Mustaqim. It doesn't say anything apart from that. Worshipping Allah is the Sirat al-Mustaqim, nothing else. Nothing is added to it. Yeah, but then it can be argued that those who know the Prophet, yes. But those who don't know the Prophet, obviously those who know the Prophet and know him to be the truth, I mean, if they don't, then obviously they are. But if they do not know the Prophet, or they are not convinced of his truth, and they believe in Allah the way they believe, then they would be included. Obviously those who know the truth, they don't believe in this, there is no question about any.
But then you could argue the same for someone who doesn't know God exists
and doesn't believe in God exists. But that, according to religion, I mean, is in fitrah. Whereas the Prophet is not in the fitrah. That is within themselves, everybody. Yeah, can be argued. Mm.